Our God and our Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will enlighten our minds now so that we may understand the things you want to say to us. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Do sit down. I'm sure you will remember that over the last couple of Sundays, both Catherine and Rod have been reminding us that we're still in the period of Epiphany, a period of enlightenment, manifestation. You may remember particularly that last week Catherine was telling us about certain enlightenments, particularly the giving of the Holy Spirit, and she called them light bulb moments. I'm not going to do this over and over again, as Catherine did. This week, I want us to look at another of these enlightenments, if you like, the knowledge of and knowing the gifts that the Spirit of God gives us. Just as an introduction, let me point out to you that there is a difference between the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, or spiritual gifts. The fruits of the Spirit are given to us in Paul's letter to the Galatians. Thank you. Nine of them. I bet there's quite a few of you who can recite them off by heart. You may want to join with me, in fact, as I say them to you. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Well done to those of you who are able to say them. Now, these, of course, are gifts or fruits of the Spirit, and we should have all of them. As the Spirit indwells us, so the Spirit of Christ should be, in fact, showing out these fruits in our lives. They should be natural qualities as Christians. But the gifts of the Spirit, or spiritual gifts, are somewhat different. These are gifts given to us to enable the Holy Spirit to work through us as the body of Christ in the world. And to each of us, to all of us, are given a particular gift, or perhaps several gifts. I don't think any of us, in fact, receive all of the gifts. I just want to illustrate it this way. In the Gospels, Jesus often illustrated the work of his kingdom through agriculture, working toward the harvest for the establishment of his kingdom. And we are told that we are his laborers, and the Holy Spirit is the power through which we have growth. Now, in order for the harvest to be accomplished, of course, the laborers need tools, don't they? Spades, rakes, scythes, etc. And today, of course, tractors, plowing machines, combine harvesters, and so on. And in God's kingdom, in fact, the workers, under the power of the Holy Spirit, need tools in order to do the job. So the Holy Spirit gives us these different tools, gifts, to different people, so that working together, we're able to gather in God's harvest and accomplish his kingdom. We find the list of these gifts in several of the epistles, including, of course, the Corinthians, which has just been read to us. Now, what I'd like to do this morning is put to you several questions and see if we can answer the questions with regard to these gifts. What are these gifts? Why do we need them? To whom are they given? What are they for? How do we receive them? So, what are the gifts? Now, as I say, they're listed in some of the letters that Paul wrote, particularly in Ephesians, in Romans, and in the passage we read together from Corinthians. And Paul's lists include wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation, serving, teaching, helping, guiding, preaching, administration, encouraging, caring, giving, etc., etc. And today we could probably add more to these gifts as we think of the way the Spirit works through us. For instance, welcoming, cleaning, and perhaps I should just say here, we do value so much those people who in the background keep our church in such a beautiful condition. Would say, I'm saying on part of all of you, thank you very much for those of you who do that. But also playing instruments, thank you for singing. For those, in fact, at the back, looking after the technology and the sound system. Of course, they didn't have those in Paul's day, so Paul was not going to suggest those as the gifts. But you see, the list is very, very comprehensive, and we're all involved. And I want to get that across to you this morning very, very much, that to all of us, we have been given gifts. And to all of us, it's important that we use them. Well, why do we need these gifts from the Holy Spirit? I think you will agree that we do have a wonderful church family here in St. Mary's. And it's so wonderful to be able to share together in friendship and in the love of Christ. And by the way, I'm not saying that this is not important. Of course, it's very important. Of course, by God's grace, together, we share the knowledge that Christ died on the cross for that our sins could be forgiven, and we are reconciled to God. Absolutely wonderful. But if we think that this is all there is to being members of Christ's church, well, we've got it all wrong. Yes, Christ died for you and for me, and he died, but what we have to remember, that Christ died also for every person in Market Drayton. He loves us very much, but he loves them just as much as he loves us, and we have to let that be known. This task, of course, is daunting, and we all need help to be able to do this. So the Holy Spirit gives each of us a variety of gifts so that we can carry out this task. And it might be worth saying at this point that each gift, no matter how big or small we might think it is, in the work of Christ, they are equally important. In fact, you may be interested to know, I was reading just very recently that in a survey that was done, more people are brought to know Jesus Christ as their Savior through friendship and through caring than from all the preaching that goes on. Also, of course, we do need to support each other, encourage each other, and we all need continually to be taught from God's word so that we understand what God is saying to us. So then, to whom are they given? Now here, there are certainly some misconceptions. Some had said that these gifts are only given to special Christians. But you know, if you think that, you have to think about the context about Paul was writing. He was writing to the Christians in Corinth. Now I suggest you read Corinthians 1 and Corinthians 2. You won't find that these people are special Christians. In fact, they were not very good Christians at all, to be perfectly honest. And yet we are told, to each one of them, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. And it is important that we realize that all of us are offered these gifts by the Spirit. And if we don't use them, the Church of Christ is not going to be able to function. Paul illustrates this by referring to bodily functions. And I thought it really is very clever the way he develops this. Because he asks us just to look at our bodies. And he says, the body is made up of many parts, and they all have different jobs to do. We need our feet and legs for walking. We need our hands to do things. We need our eyes to see what we're doing. We need our ears to hear. And in fact, the body just doesn't work unless all of these things are working together. And we all know that. Think if you're impaired in just one way. Say, for instance, for some reason, you can't see properly. And I guess as we all grow older, we all suffer a little bit more and more from that, don't we? And recently, I must say, thank you for the use of the fact that we have so easily have cataract operations today. And I know a lot of us in the congregation have benefit from cataract operations. We all, in fact, need our sight in order to accomplish so many things. Our bodies don't work unless everything is working together. And of course, we have these functions and we need to use them. If they're not being used, the church, in fact, could be illustrated by a football match, where we find in a football match, for instance, that there are 22,000 spectators desperately in need of exercise, watching 22 players desperately in need of a rest. That, in fact, can happen in the church if we're not working together. So what do we need these gifts for? It's a great pity, again, that in some parts of the Christian church, overemphasis is given to what people might call spectacular gifts. For instance, healing, speaking in tongues, prophesying. And people have suggested that these gifts are only given to a certain level of Christians. You have to reach a certain level of Christianity before these special gifts are given to you. In fact, some people think that perhaps these special gifts are in fact a reward for good service, or perhaps they're a status symbol. Instead, what do we read? The Spirit distributes them to each one just as He determines. The Spirit determines who gets which gift. And each one is given not for to boost our egos. They're given for the good of Christ's church. They're given for the good of all of us, so the church of Christ can benefit. Well, how do we receive these spiritual gifts? I do hope that every one of us has the prayer in our hearts: how can I know the Spirit of Christ in my life? And how, in fact, can I receive the gift He has for me? Well, if we're going to have these gifts, be used by the Spirit, there are several things we need to know. At the very beginning, we must allow Jesus to be Lord of our lives. The Lordship of Christ in my life, in other words, putting God first, and the indwelling of the Spirit go hand in hand. The Lordship of Christ and the indwelling of His Spirit go hand in hand. Secondly, I must want and I need to ask for the gift He has determined for me. We are told, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And Jesus told us, ask and it will be given you. But we must recognize that it's God's Spirit, who will decide which gifts will be given to us. We have no right to go to God and try to demand that He gives us a spirit. I don't think it's really good to choose one of the gifts we particularly like and say to God, this is the one I want. Let God determine which gift He will give you. And so, in this matter, we must just trust God, be relaxed about it, and in fact, seek to understand what gift He has to give to us. You know, it's sometimes helpful, in fact, to encourage each other When we see a gift that somebody has and they're perhaps not using, just tactfully to say to them, do you know you have this particular gift? I can remember once, quite a long time ago, I was in a group with young people, and the curate of the church I was at the time asked the young people to go round one by one and say to the other young people what was the gift that they thought they had. And you know, it was incredibly revealing as people pointed out to somebody, I think you have this gift. And they were quite amazed. But when they thought about it, they realized, yes, that was a gift. They had been given by the Spirit, and they were encouraged then to use it. Of course, the Holy Spirit, in fact, uses the gifts that we naturally have. But we all must be ready for him to give us gifts, in fact, that we don't expect and what we don't think we have. And then finally, love must be at the heart of everything. Let me repeat. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. We must have love for God. We must have love for each other. We must have love for the world, love for Margaret Drayton, for whom Christ died. As Catherine mentioned, at the meeting last Tuesday evening, we were thinking about how we move forward as churches together. How do we reach out to our community, helping them in their particular needs, but also bringing the love of Christ to them? As I said at the beginning, it's a daunting task. And let us learn that we will not do this on our own. It will come about through prayer, and we need to give, in fact, we need to ask God to give us overwhelming love for those around us, the indwelling of his Holy Spirit to strengthen us, and the Spirit's gifts to enable us to carry out the tasks that he gives us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, teach us of our need of you. So fill us with your love that we may allow you to be Lord of our lives, and so fill us with your Holy Spirit and give to us the spiritual gifts you have prepared for us, so that your church here in Market Drayton, we may please and honor you and be effective in bringing your love to our town. Amen.